Subhash Dhar, and I run the communications, media, entertainment vertical business unit at Infosys. I also am a member of the executive council at Infosys. The presentation I have here today is about 6 or 7 slides on mostly about the state of the market and what are the challenges that we believe our clients are having. Where do we think we, where are the drivers of trends, why do we believe that we have the right strategy in that space, and what's the outlook on the business that we have. So I'll quickly run this. I think the format is, we've been through this now since in the morning, so 15 plus 15. Hopefully I can do this in 15 and then leave the 15 for you to ask questions. Safe harbor. Let's start with some numbers of how this segment has done for us over the years. So roughly, give or take 1 or 2%, it's about 20% of our overall revenues in terms of industry segment revenues. These are the key spending drivers we believe are still intact. Number one is an ongoing transformation of networks and systems, which mostly the wireline guys are going through and have gone through. Some of them are further up than others. So that continues, and that is a very strong spending driver. Players change, so the clients might change, but that continues to be a strong driver of demand. Next generation services like IPTV, video on demand, social networking, and the list is not very long here because I think it's waiting for a lot of that innovation to happen. But this is the reason why they are investing in the transformation of the network in the first place. So that, for those who are further up the journey on the network transformation, this is where the trend, and we believe a longer cycle of spend and a more sustaining cycle of spend will happen in this space. Number three, the evolution process on consumer devices, which we all know is happening. We are not going to be blessed with one device which will do everything for us. We all figured it out that the more the device industry explodes, the more devices we all will be carrying, which will mean that every application that is written will have to be ported, tested, certified, and maintained over multiple devices. So that's the application side of things. That is not to talk about the embedded software which goes into those devices, which will also be a lot of software. And the last one, which again, I don't think I need to talk about it much in India, it's most for overseas audience, of how the new markets are driving a lot of the trends. So what are the drivers of offshoring? I mean, this is the large demand picture that you saw in the last slide, but what are the drivers for offshoring here? We believe these transformation programs that we talked about, the network, the services, transformation programs, the demand challenge is not very easily available to incumbent phone companies, or for that matter, networks or studios as well. This kind of talent actually works mostly in Silicon Valley kind of companies. So for firms like us who can build this talent and make them available for our clients, it's a big reason for them to come to us. The second big driver, which we see becoming increasingly strong, is the maturing wireless business in some parts of the world, especially Europe. We have seen that mature businesses have a need for efficiencies, and efficiencies are usually a very strong driver for offshore adoption. So we have seen signs of that in some of our new account openings over the last few quarters, certainly last few months, in the wireless segment. So up until now, wireline has been the largest demand generating segment for us, and wireless we believe will follow over the next few quarters and certainly next few years. And the third one, which is the fact that a lot of these new technologies and business models are actually coming from the part of the world that we profess to be experts on, or at least most of our talent base is on, is also an added advantage. In fact, some of the companies say if you have to do this stuff, we will actually do it with you because you've got that talent base there rather than do it here. Because, and a case in point is a lot of the wireless work wireless innovation, innovative work that needs to be done, for example, North American markets, people look out for talent for that, just because the wireless market in North America is very tiny, albeit growing, but very tiny in terms of the I factor, the innovation factor. So what it takes to be a leader in this industry, and this is really, I'm talking on behalf of my clients, of what it takes for them to lead in this industry, because this whole transforming industry, this converging industry, and this also is a list of challenges that our biggest customers and our prospects have, which is large incumbents, phone companies, networks, studios. Customer-centric view as opposed to a network-centric view. These guys have built large networks. They think that's their biggest asset. They have built organization structures around them. They have built business models around them. It's very hard for them to completely change that and become customer-centric. But that's increasingly becoming important because of regulation driving the competition. So competition is coming from all kinds of players and not just companies that look like them. That's important for them to do this major transformation. Second, rapid idea to launch cycles, which means it's really coming from the fact that they have to launch several services now just to be where they are in the new world. You really look at, rewind 20, 25 years ago, there was just three services any communication service provider provided. One was local, the second was called long distance, and third was called international, right? And it was all voice and nothing else. This was there for 50, 70 years. That's all. There were three services that they had. So no wonder they became network-centric. The whole differentiation was regulation, because make sure that nobody else gets to do what you're doing, and make sure the quality of service is super. So they call dial tone quality, right? They still talk a lot about it. People are paying a lot more for dropped calls than they are paying for that dial tone quality. That's a fact. We pay more for our cell phone services per call than we pay for our landline, which is dial tone quality. So quality has taken a back seat, or quality of service has taken a back seat. Well, in India, it's probably just gone a little bit over the threshold of tolerance, but by and large, even in the most advanced markets, the quality of service in wireless would be lesser than a wireline, but people pay more for it. So now the game is all about how many new services can you launch on this newfangled internet protocol network that you've just built or bought. Rapid idea to launch services. That's something they do not have and they need to have. Focus on applications, not connectivity. I think some straight from that. They can't be just building the next generation of pipes which will get commoditized by Google and Amazon. They have to figure out how to. It brings into the last point, how to really take the economic advantage of what they're building. So, really, all of that is leading to a more agile, more software-oriented. You've heard, and if you've watched some of the comments of large incumbents who are doing this transformation, they're saying we are becoming a more IT company, we are becoming a more software company. They have to become that. If not, then they have to partner with those who are IT and software companies. So that's where we come in. So what's our strategy and market position? Clearly, two major points. Number one, we have to be a transformation partner for our operators, networks, and studios, because these guys have very large stakes in transforming landscape of the industry. They just cannot afford to not be a dominant player in whatever that industry transforms into. But they also need partners, as was evident in the last slide, with large-scale execution capabilities on new stuff. Everything is becoming software, including switches, right? Switches are software. So they need that, and they will not be able to attract the talent as much as companies like us can do and invest into those capabilities. And as their businesses mature, as the wireline segment has found out, that while they have to do more, they have to do this with less. Thankfully, I think wireless in most parts of the world is not having that problem. But if they don't invest now, they will have to invest when they have to do more with less. And as is evident in the wireless segment in Europe, where things are tightening. So this is what they're looking for. This is what they're looking for. And I think something like Infosys, certainly us, in our strategy, we are completely aware of this environment, and we are very consciously focusing and taking this message and focusing ourselves around this message. And just positioning is not enough. This brings us to the second point, which is we have to invest in solutions of what we call the future view of the industry. There are two reasons for that. One, the past view of the industry is not going to be creating the differentiation that our clients are seeking. B, it's not easy to penetrate the past incumbent positions that equipment manufacturers and ISVs have had in this industry. I mean, it's amazing how this industry has bought from just a handful of vendors, almost everything, until, of course, the competitive environment got threatened because of regulation. Now the trend is very clear that they're looking for best of breed, future solutions, capabilities, companies which have a more flexible model, which doesn't lock them down on their technology choices, because they have to make change of choices as they go along. So it's a very unknown territory that everybody is getting into in the converged world. So there are three examples out there which we are, some of the examples of what we are building as so-called products or platform-like solutions. I'll just pick one of them. Let me just talk about the first one, the scenario-based customer service. It's amazing how so this solution allows the operators to reduce their time to resolve a problem which comes into their call center and then goes into their network operation center dramatically. We are talking about at least 20-30% reduction because of a self-learning system, software-based system, which self-learns on what categories of faults are coming in. So as more faults keep coming in, they start classifying and learn based on scenarios, by building scenarios on what could be the problem. And the guess factor is very, very accurate as time progresses. Why has that become suddenly a big solution? Because they had great solutions for the old world, which was the circuit switch network as opposed to the internet protocol network that they have today. For the old network, they had great solutions. But the same ISVs have not built this solution for the new network. It's amazing how this industry, which was always led by vendors, and they were told what you can do next, is just completely flipped, where the service provider is telling the vendors what I need to do next and therefore what you need to do next. And there is a big gap between the capabilities of solution providers and what problems are being faced by these. So that's a place where we can step in and create solutions, ideally platform, if we can. So we believe we need to be closer to the services model than to the product model. So we want to build intellectual property that can get embedded into platforms which we can offer as shared services. That's one example. The last one is customer value management. Again, a very obvious solution which has been notorious by its absence. I mean, it's about the only industry which doesn't give a damn between a guy who spends 200 rupees a month or 20,000 rupees a month. And you get to call the same call center, you get to drop as many calls. It all depends on where you are and not who you are. And it's amazing that they don't even know, there's no treatment given to higher value clients. This is a solution which is begging to come. Some of the moves of regulators like number portability those help drive these solutions. So in mature markets, you're seeing a lot of the adoption for that. But really, I mean, this is something which we have seen progressive companies now talking about, not everyone. And we believe that's the right time to get in if we have to dominate this space in the future. So this is really overall our strategy and market position. We have to take that position and we have to invest in those solutions to back up that position. The list of how our penetration has been in this segment, largely in the North American and European market, we are growing in the rest of the world market. So the client testimonials, interesting how they see us quite differently from many of the vendors that they have been used to. So a case in point is a second comment out there that says agility and process are generally thought as antonyms, but Infosys was somehow able to remarkably make the two. It's amazing. We did extreme programming for this client because they had literally extreme programming, which was short cycles of programming. It's a completely different methodology. By using a lot of the tools, we actually built some of the tools on the fly for that. And then we used some of our iterative methodologies. And this was done not just for Infosys teams, but also for the other vendors because we were together going to deliver on that program. We did it in a fashion which, so the client was amazed how easy it is for us to engage teams and give them tasks and break tasks and, you know, put them all together. This is something that is bread and butter for us. But do that in a scenario which typically is not a waterfall development model, but an extreme programming, iterative, cyclic development model. This client says, you know, this is really the future. They want to work with our model, but they also want to work with methodologies which are high speed, short cycle development models. So that's the kind of position that one needs to take if you have to make a difference in this segment. Just saying that we are offshore vendors, low cost, high quality, you know, that's not going to move the needle. What are the challenges we see in this, despite all the great picture? Number one, longer decision cycles. That's really been the pain point over the last 3-4 months for me in my segment, and I think story is quite strong in many other segments because of the macroeconomic environment. Nobody really tells us that it is because of their problems, because this segment has been in trouble for a long time now, so I think they're used to that. It's really the macroeconomic environment which is forcing some budget cuts, but more importantly, the longer procrastination of decisions. I already talked about lack of best-of-breed core package solutions for the industry, so the new industry scenarios which are emerging. So if there were those, then we could have integrated them and we could have created more business just around them. But we have to now invest in some of those solutions which don't exist for the future view of this industry. So that kind of things in an investment challenge for us, which is both an opportunity and a challenge. And the third one, which is because of both customers, and we focus on large incumbents or at least large operators and networking studios, the legacy investments hold them back from investing in the future. So there's this whole thing of more to do more with less, but then you can only do so much more with less because there's a huge amount of legacy investments that you need to take care of as well. That's their challenge more than ours. I think the number one and number two is, number one scale is our challenge, number two and three are more their challenge as well, our challenges. So overall business outlook is, I think the demand is strong. They're demonstrated by the health of the pipeline that we have. Very mid to large size deals, and we've never had so many deals in the pipeline before. But one of the things about the pipeline is because when the decisions don't get taken, the pipelines become richer, right? Clearly, client efficiency is what we are looking for. The speed of client efficiency is what I am looking for. Get the pipeline converted to deals. Thank you. Open for questions. Yeah. I think you may have to speak in the microphone because we are recording this.
Hello. Okay. With regard to the top line, can you at least know whether the drop in revenues was due to the normal completion of the project, or was it because the projects which were currently underway had for some reason been curtailed, or was it the projects which were scheduled were subsequently deferred?
Well, actually, maybe your question should also have why was there was a spurt of revenues in Q4. Because that was a spurt, if you really noticed how the revenues went up then. If you're comparing Q1 to our Q4, then you will have a lot more questions as opposed to our trajectory from last year Q1 all the way up to this year's Q1. But I'll answer that question nevertheless. I think the severity of the problem is not as high as you think from Q1, if you compare Q4 to Q1. Some of it is because of the nature of the spend. The nature of the spend is largely in transformation. And transformations have to start scaling down after a point. It's been 5 years that they've been with this transformation program. Having said that, I think personally I thought that this transformation scale down was slightly sooner than what I would have expected because, and I'm only attributing this to their own financial performance itself. But other than that, I didn't see any specific surprise. No. The surprise comes when you compare with Q4.
The surprise actually is very magnified if you look at it. 29% drop QOQ on the same client is.
What I'm saying, why are you comparing with Q4? Q4 should not be compared. Q4 was an extraordinary quarter as well.
In effect, probably a quarter or two down the line, we can probably see the same ramp up from the same client, right?
Well, we really don't look at our business from one client perspective. I don't know whether that's the analysis we do, where, you know, how much will this client help us with the whole portfolio. Right now, we have deals in the pipeline from not just one, but from many clients. So the numbers can change in spite of this client and not necessarily because of this client. Right? So that's what I would say.
Thanks.
What if the revenues over the last four quarters before that had skewed our overall exposure to this client, right? So then that's something certainly the exposure is something I'm not very comfortable with. I love the revenues, but I'd like the exposure to be more managed this time.
So fantastic that the beginning of communication skills, but the one of the things holding you back is that you're less willing to give service level agreements and sort of traditional vendors in the space that I'm thinking of. I just wanted to put that to you because you felt that was just
The source that you're quoting doesn't seem cannot be cited all this credible. I don't think so. Well, you're talking about my competition. How can I take that as a word for truth? But I don't think so at all. I don't see by any reason we are not doing well in this segment. I mean, this is something which we have done so well that we started worrying about our exposure, right? So I don't know.
I think they're just trying to say what differences they see. They would say that you're doing very well in the UK, pretty well in Europe, but less well in North America. So I mean,
that is because of our not signing up for service levels? But actually, I think the market is just the opposite. I think the European market is a lot more service level centric or sensitive than the American market is. American market tends to have a tendency to buy a la carte a lot. Certainly, the continental Europe market is a lot more conservative on buying a la carte. They like results and outcomes a lot more. So I don't know whether that plays at all in our scheme of things right now.
That wanting to be platform rather than necessarily product charging, that sounded like it came from more of the intrinsic model rather than the specific.
There are two or three things, right? One, there is a gap of solutions. As the industry is transforming, the solutions to support that future industry state are not ready. The number of solutions needed are order of magnitude more than what were there in the past because of just the number of services which are going to be launched. Of the possibility, and the internet technology poses, the internet protocol poses a lot of challenges which networks have not been used. So there's a big and growing gap between what's needed and what's going to be made available. So customers are screening for solutions. It's an opportunity we see where we have to step in. I don't see why we cannot step into that. It's also aspirational for us to go in that direction because there are better margins if you do solutions as opposed to just services. So it is a trajectory we have to take, not just in this industry, across the company, but here's a great opportunity in this industry to take that step. When we take that step, we are convinced that it is not the product kind of a business that you want to build, where we get revenue for licenses and, you know, annual maintenance contracts for those products and upgrades. You know, so that's not the direction we want to take. What we want to take is a direction which works for us and which I think the clients will love, which is, hey, we need to do this billing for 50 new services over the next 3 years. We don't even know which of these services will stick and which won't. Look at VoIP. Everybody wanted to do a VoIP, and then now VoIP is all embedded. Nobody pays for VoIP anymore. It's all embedded. It's the local call that you make or the long distance that you make actually is a VoIP call. This is a cost side issue now and not a revenue side issue. So things like those happen. If you build a robust billing system, you bought the state-of-the-art billing system product for VoIP, you don't have any use for it anymore. The customers are saying, I want flexibility on that. I know many of these won't survive. Can I just go, you know, at a pay-as-you-go model? You know, can I just pay for the bill? I mean, you worry about the technology that goes in there, you know. Is it in my interest to actually build a billing platform where I can, which is flexible enough to attract all the future services or most of it, most of those services which will be done on an internet protocol network? I think it is a great opportunity. Clients want it. I can do it. And that is the future view of the industry. So it makes a lot of sense to do that.
The transformation side, like having done a large transformation project for BT, now doesn't that like just act as a very good reference point, and therefore the number of clients that you should now be getting increased significantly? In the sense, once you have done a very large transformation, so why should the clients have any questions in their mind?
Two reasons. There are not too many clients out there in this market. This market is typically plagued by the fact that there will be only so many players in a given country. So unless we go to improve our geographical penetration, we will not be able to get too many clients. Second, the journey that every client is taking is slightly different. Not everybody is doing a 21C equivalent transformation. Because BT decided to do a build, whereas there are many companies who are doing a buy. Like AT&T did a buy, just buying SBC buying AT&T, or Verizon did a buy by buying MCI. So all that 21C spend that you saw in BT over the last 4 or 5 years was done by one acquisition and a little bit of integration. But there's more stuff coming. The whole 21C program or the buy program of MCI was really to transform one part of the network, which is the core. It's the easiest thing to do, although expensive, but easiest thing to do in terms of time and effort. The last mile transformation of the network, which is to your doorstep or to your curb, is the toughest one. This is the kind of program that AT&T is running on, say, Lightspeed. Complex program. Verizon, you know, fiber to the premises, you can call it FiOS. FiOS. Those are the programs which are really, really the long tail of investment. And then there is applications like IPTV and, you know, video on demand and those kind of things which are going to sit on those, on that network. So I don't know whether I'm too worried about not having enough clients, because there's just a huge amount of spend that these guys have to, each one of them has to do if they have to fulfill the convergence promise. So I think revenue concentration with clients is here to stay in this industry in some ways. So.
I'm a telecom Italia, and I see what you've done in BT. And even if I don't have much of a presence in Italy, but Telecom Italia is just on the basis of this work that I've done, which should actually be talking to you.
But in Europe, many of our customers have said, we just want you to do a lot of what you've done there. That does happen. That does happen. But I think we will have to leverage that by increasing our geographical penetration on some of our non-English market skills, you know, in terms of being able to leverage that.
Okay, when the transformation program is on, the total requirement in terms of headcount will say, if that is X, when the transformation ends, what is the requirement in terms of employees?
Well, Pam will only tell, there's only so many transformation programs that people have gone through. But as I said, it's not really about just the core transformation. There are other humps which come after that. Then there are other clients who are not exactly in the same time frame. They're moving in a staggered time frame. So it's a portfolio approach of how you.
Very similar to what the ratio is between development and maintenance. It's,
might be a little staggered because you can't really phase out the old ones very quickly. Because here's the problem, you might be able to change your core very easy, but once you do the edge, you have to maintain both for as long as it takes to complete 100%. So there are some nuances on that. So it might actually be, the maintenance might be a much bigger deal. You're maintaining the new and the old for a long time. So there are some of those issues as well.
Now has a mixture of data and some sort of data and the calculation of the nature and detail features. I will be here again as part of the open house if you have.
Thank you very much.
An SAP system as a part of the enterprise research group. Yeah. Thank you very much.